Good morning, Zion. It's so good to be with you. And thank you, Deb, for your worship leading. I appreciate it so much. This morning, we're heading into a new school year. And if you can think back to whenever you went to school for the first time, that's what I want you to do. Now, some people, I saw the smiles happen immediately. I don't know why. I don't know where that place was that you studied or what happened the first day or how many years ago it was. But if you think back to that space, I'm not going to assume it was a good space for everyone, but for me it was. Mrs. Spory's classroom. Now, I'm assuming that's Joseph's aunt. Yes, I think so. Kathy Spory from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Some of you might know Mel and Kathy. Lovely people. She's an expert teacher. She has been for years and years and years, and I was blessed to be able to be one of her students. I remember going into her classroom, and she had all these things set up that weren't the way that my parents set things up, right? She had this like wheel of all these different tasks so that every kid in the classroom had a job to do every single day. And she had this big pile of like blocks that were made out of, you remember like milk that came in like half gallon cartons, and then we'd stick them together and then we'd build towers out of, in my house, that's how we built blocks. We'd rinse them out and then we'd stick them together and we built towers. I remember looking and there was a tower that somebody built, I assume it was Mrs. Spory, that was in the corner and it was taller than she was. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder how she built a tower that's taller than she is. I wonder. I just remember moving through that space with wonder. And I knew it was something new, and I knew it was something different, and I knew it was a place that I had never been before. And I think, even though I was 6 years old or whatever, I remember going in and being like, this is amazing. And it was awesome. It was awesome to be in that space. We play the wonder game, not WANDER. That's the wonder game where my kids just starts to squirrel away and then I have to go figure out where they went at the grocery store or anywhere. The WONDER, the wonder game. I wonder what it would be like to fly. Or I wonder what it would be like to be an elephant. Or I wonder what it would be like to have grown up 100 years ago and to have approached the challenges of life 100 years ago instead of the ones that are today. I wonder what it would be like if we decided to not use electricity anymore. I wonder. It's a game that we like to play at our house. It's fun. So, you know, for those of you who don't like fun, I'm just kidding. So to wonder, I would like for you to wonder with me this morning. With that same sort of wonder that I had, I say those words the same, maybe some of you say it different, the same sort of wonder that I had as a six-year-old going into that kindergarten classroom for the first time. I want us to wonder, I want us to hold this idea in this new space. Here's my wonder statement, are you ready? I wonder what it would look like if we as a community of followers of Jesus, as the church, committed this year to go into the world as learners. I wonder what it would look like for us as a community of believers, as a church, to go into life this year as learners. Learning from God, learning from the Holy Spirit as a congregation. Just hold that question for 1 second with me. I invite you into that wondering, and I hope you can keep taking it with you beyond this morning. Not because we're elementary school students or middle school students or high school students or college students, although some of us are. Not because we're faculty and staff, teachers, administrators, some of us are. Not because we're peripherally related, connected to school because of our grandchildren or our nieces or our nephews who are gonna, or because of our own experience historically being professional students. It's a little too simple that way. I think that those of us, all of us, are made in God's image. And because we're made in God's image, one of the things that God hardwired us to do is to learn. from the moment that we're born. Malachi right now is like almost 4 months, and he's beautiful. He's huge. He's like as big as two of our other kids combined at this age. And he looks at every little shiny, flashy thing and every person from across the room, and he looks, and I watch him, and he goes like this. He says, as he like connects with his own reflection, as he connects with a person across the room, he's soaking up all of the world around him, all of the language around him, all of the things that his siblings might do to him if he doesn't pay attention and his parents don't intervene. And that sort of wondering and learning that happens from pretty much the very beginning. We learn from the very beginning that when we cry, there's someone who will care for us and comfort us and love us and feed us. We learn, and that's one of the ways that God has hardwired us. And the way that we learn is through paying attention, through expecting, through listening, through looking, through touching and tasting. That's how we learn together. If we go into life expecting to learn, expecting to grow, expecting to be shaped in new ways by the things that come around us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can say, we encounter a world in a very different way than if we don't expect those things. But we're going to set that aside for now. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. At my house, I'll tell you, and at school, both. I teach half-time in the county at Elkton Elementary School. I teach special education, and I love it. And at home, I'm a parent of four kids. And almost every week, something happens called, you got to try this out. You got to try this out. It's when the kid realizes that you can squish all of your gushers and layer the Doritos on top and then put it between the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You got to try this out. My students and my kids they figure out these new unprescribed ways of consuming food that I have never dreamed of. Putting ketchup on your watermelon it's all these sorts of things that I look at it and I go, oh my goodness. Should I shut this down or should I let them just like see what happens? Because letting them see what happens, I've learned some things. I've learned some things watching these children of mine and these students of mine. I refuse to say any names. I was so close like three times in the last minute. I've learned so many things. And some of the things were things that I never want to try again. And some of the things were things that I'm just glad that they were engaging the world with that sort of wonderment and amazement. As they discovered new things, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good is good news, because as soon as we taste and see that God, as soon as we pay attention to who God is, we realize that God is good. Now, let me skip down to the last few verses. There's six verses at the end. The next three chunk talk about the fear of the Lord. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Do you hear how the psalmist did a parallel there? Let me say it. Look, in verse 9, it's fear the Lord, his holy people. And then when we get down to verse 10, it's, you know, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So fearing the Lord maybe isn't bringing to mind what we think of usually when we think of the word fear. Because I think about fear all the time right now. I watch how fear drives people around me to do things, driven by fear, instead of being compelled by hope. Some of these fears are healthy and appropriate. I don't like heights, and I married the daughter of a painter, and now I have a granddaughter of a painter who lives at my house. And whenever Mark comes to my house, my father-in-law, he just shimmies up the ladder and he goes and fixes the roof that's 40 feet up in the air, and then he shimmies on down, and then Eliana will shimmy up to the second story window and look. I'm like, no, please don't ever do that again, because I don't really like heights. The reason is because I fell whenever I was little, and I just don't like heights anymore. I have an appropriate fear of heights. I think it's appropriate. But perfect love casts out fear, right? Perfect love casts out fear. Do not be afraid. Over and over and over and over again is the words from the angels, from the messengers from God to the people of God. Do not be afraid. Fear not, for I am with you. So why is it saying fear the Lord, or the fear of the Lord, which is verse 11. Come, my children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The best way that I can talk, the fear of the Lord, if you can kind of take that sentence, that phrase, and just take it as a chunk. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is what I was talking about when I went into Mrs. Spore's classroom for the first time. It's the thing that happened in my head and my heart the first time that I went. I remember when Teresa and I first got married, we went out and we drove around and we did the whole out west trip, right? We had like nothing to our name but this little Saturn and a tent, and we kept a little freezer chest so we could take meals for 3 days at a time, right? And buy at grocery stores. And I stood on the edge of the Grand Canyon and I was in awe because I couldn't believe it was real. It just looked fake even then. I was like, this is too big and beautiful and perfect for this to actually be real. And I stood there in awe, and I watched Teresa, like, she doesn't mind heights. And so she walked out a little bit closer, not close, but a little bit closer to the edge. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to the car and drive back to Virginia. There was an awe that happened. There was an appropriate awareness of my surroundings that happened whenever I was in Mrs. Spore's classroom and at the Grand Canyon. I paid attention to what I was seeing, to what I was smelling, to what I was hearing, to the signs that I had just read about the heights. And in that moment, that wonderment, that beauty, I realized that I was standing on holy ground. I was standing on holy ground. That the Spirit of God was there with me. It's this feeling. One of the authors that I read, Christ Plays in 10,000 Places. It's a book you can read if you have more time than I do this month. And it talks about how it's like you know, children coming into the forest and in like a children's story and discovering like elves and unicorns and all these sorts of things. But it's not elves and unicorns. It's Sinai. It's Tabor, it's Golgotha. It's holy spaces that invite us into this awesome presence of God where the bush is burning, but it's not being burned up. That's the fear of the Lord. It's an awareness of what's going on around us that changes the way that we see the world around us. Because if we move through our life with the fear of the Lord, look back at those verses for me. Whoever loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. If we move through life with that wonderment, that imagination, that awareness of the holy, the divine made known to us in Jesus Christ, this holy ground that is around us, every single place that we step, because God does not just live in a building. We don't believe that. We believe that as we sit with a friend who's grieving, and as we sit beside a friend who is sick, and as we sit by ourselves longing for something else, that the Holy Spirit is there with us. And when we're celebrating our birthday, and when we're seeing friends we haven't seen for a long time, and when we're hugging people who we've longed to see. I got to see my family last week of July for the first time in 21 months. And I hugged my brother for the first time, and I squeezed him, and I didn't let go for 15 seconds. And he felt very uncomfortable, I'm sure. And I just didn't let go. And then I moved on to my next brother, and I just held him for 15 seconds. Oh, I loved it. It was so good. It's not about just hard times or holy or happy times. It's seeing holy times all around us. And then as we move into those holy spaces, I just, oh, man. as we move, as we recognize that the holy is all around us, that God's ground is this ground and it is holy ground, we live in the fear of the Lord. We take refuge in the goodness of God. And it doesn't really, I'm not saying it doesn't matter what happens, but we know that God is already there before we get to that place. That's what it means to fear the Lord. So how do we fear the Lord? I think verses 12 through 14 talk about it. If you love life and you desire many good days, keep your tongue from evil. Ooh, going back. Yeah, we're just gonna leave that there. Don't tell lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You know, I think sometimes we think that sin is about just doing bad stuff. But that's not what it is. I think it's about living with a disengaged awareness of the presence of God in our everyday midst. In my childhood, Deb, I thought that sin was about the Ten Commandments. It was about like not killing people and not lying and making sure I didn't think the wrong thing or say the wrong thing. I'm realizing more and more in my 30s. I'm 35, so you can stop guessing. I know. And in my 30s, I'm realizing that the main way that I fall into sin is distraction. It's distraction. And it's moving through life unaware. It's not that I don't still say things that I wish I didn't say and that I don't do things that I have to confess because I believe that God will give forgiveness. No, but the main way that I fall into sin, separation from God, that I separate myself from the holiness that God is doing all around me, is by being distracted and not paying attention. So I want for us, please, Zion Mennonite Church, this year, along with our students, to open up our minds. Every single one of us, if we commit to learning together this year, I want to learn from you because you know Jesus and you reflect Jesus' image in beautiful ways. Teach me. I want us to learn from each other for the same reason. And I want us to learn from the Holy Spirit, not just in this sacred space, but in the sacred spaces that are scattered and spread across this county, across this valley, across our world. Can we open ourselves up to learn from God? Or do we think that we're done learning? Do we think we have it all sorted out already? I saw a few smiles and smirks whenever I said that. Because I don't think any of us would be think of ourselves highly enough to say, I have all of the answers already. I think all of us can commit to learning from God together this year, right? I think all of us can commit to opening up our eyes, even about things that are scary, about change that's uncomfortable, about things that we hadn't previously seen or heard or known. We can also learn from the Holy Spirit to dig deep into some of the things that we already knew already to realize that the truth that we had in our hand was far more profound. Let us find Sinai and Tabor and Golgotha, as the author put it, here in Broadway and in Harrisonburg and Timberville. Let us find the body of Christ broken and poured out for the world around us. Let us be that body broken and poured out to the world around us. Let us lay aside our pride and our skepticism, our stubbornness, that one I put in for myself, so stubborn, that we might learn something this year together and not just our students, so that we may be transformed by the goodness of God. Thanks be to God.